Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
I want to preach this morning on five commands concerning the Holy Spirit, or how to get God's work done God's way. And I trust this morning I'll do some teaching here, some preaching. Trust it'll be a blessing to you. We need to grow Christ's church during the winter months here in eastern Upper Michigan. We as a church of Jesus Christ need to be, we need more than ever the power of the Holy Spirit. You ever been in a church service where it's deader than the doornail? Nobody ever talks. You can turn a good sermon, you can turn a poor sermon into a great sermon just by amen and just a little bit and helping the preacher get going. But you and I have been in church services where if you said amen, somebody would die, would faint dead away of a heart attack because, man, what are you doing talking in the church service? And the truth is, I've been in services and I've been in churches and you've been in churches that are deader than last year's Christmas tree. I mean, there's nothing to it. There's no life. It's just formality. It's just going through the bulletin, through the program, if you will, and doing everything in order. And that's all it is. And nothing is ever accomplished. And I'll tell you what's missing in that church. It's people, you may not like this, but it's the truth. It's people that are filled with the Holy Spirit. A question was asked this morning in Sunday school about getting discouraged. And, you know, what about people? Some people, sometimes they quit on God because they don't see any results. And I got an answer for that. You don't see results because you do not have the fullness of the Spirit. You don't see things happening around you because you are not filled with God, the Holy Spirit. Now understand this, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. He was there in eternity past. He was there in creation. Part of Elohim, the Godhead. In the beginning, God created. And the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. The Holy Spirit has always been because he is the third person of the Trinity. He was there at Calvary when our Savior was hanging upon the cross. The Holy Spirit is there every time a soul gets saved. He's the one that energizes. And he's the one that enlivens and quickens that dead spirit that's within man and makes him a whole person before God. The Holy Spirit of God indwells every believer. He seals every believer. The Holy Spirit, the great comforter. If you would, before I get to Ephesians, turn to John in chapter 15. John in chapter 15, by way of introduction. Let's look at chapter 14, first of all, by way of introduction. The Holy Spirit, who so many people are trying to live without. Christianity has been reduced to a pie-in-the-sky religion where heaven is the reward. That's heresy. Heaven is not the reward. Heaven is a gift. You don't earn heaven. It's all of grace. It's all of Jesus Christ. And once you get that salvation, the Holy Spirit, he quickens you. He makes you alive. He indwells you. The Holy Spirit, he's the one that enables you and enables me as well. He's my comforter. He's my helper. He's my energizer. He's my teacher. He's my security. He is my strength. I can't go a day without God. And if I do go a day without being surrendered to God, the Holy Spirit, it's a wasted day. If I go an hour without being filled with the Spirit of God, it's a wasted hour. We talked this morning in Sunday school how bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness, that's forever. Bodily exercise is temporary and is limited, but godliness, that's forever. And I'm thinking this morning of the verse where Jesus said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. The truth is, there are differences. Heaven is going to be different for every believer. We're going to be rewarded according, it's all of grace, that's how we get there. But God, who is a just God, rewards us according to our service to him down here on this earth. Otherwise, why lay up treasures in heaven? Where rust and moth doth not corrupt. You know, so there's a difference. We get an opportunity to live for God in this world. Any day not lived for God, any day lived without being surrendered to God the Holy Spirit, is wasted. It's wasted. Maybe you spent 3 hours working on your car and you didn't do it being filled with the Spirit. It was wasted time. There's no rewards there. That's just, you're just making your earth a little bit better. Now, you could work on your car and be filled with the Spirit of God. You can be surrendered to God. And boy, I got a big message here. I've got five things I want to preach. I hope I can get to it. Look what it says in verse 12 of John chapter 14. This isn't an unfamiliar verse to you. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth in me, the works that I do, shall he do also." This has always been a wonderment to me. "And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." He said, "Now I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to my Father. I'll be your intercessor, your great mediator. I'm going to my Father, and I'm going to send to you the Comforter. I'll send to you the Enabler. I'll send to you the Holy Spirit of God. And he's going to help you while you're down here on this earth." Man, to live a day without surrendering to God the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you again, it's wasted. How many days did you waste last week? How many efforts were just very temporary and very limited, and it's done? John in chapter 15, look at chapter 15 and verse 26. "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth out of the Father, he shall testify of me." Man, we go all over John chapter 14, 15, 16, and we read of Jesus saying, "I'm going to leave, but I'm going to send you the Comforter." The Holy Spirit came on the great day of Pentecost. The church was born again and born and energized on the great day of Pentecost. And 3,000 souls got saved. And God, the Holy Spirit, used that first century church, used that early church, and turned the cities upside down for God. Why isn't that going on today? It's because we're doing too much in the power of the flesh. There are five commands concerning the Holy Spirit. Oh, and I want to say this. These five commands, we're going to run through them quickly. The church is like there's all kinds of moving parts. I thought of this last week. And this will tell you how deep a thinker I am. It's like a great big machine. But it's not a machine, because a machine is cold. The church is people. But it's like a great big machine. The bigger the machine, the more moving parts there are, the more things are apt to break and break down. And the church has got all kinds of moving parts. Man, I tell you, not in a sinful way, I was so fulfilled, so proud of the float on Friday night in the Christmas parade and the people that were on it. And the testimony, instead of doing something else, they were there. God bless you. I was proud of that. And I couldn't be part of it. All kinds of moving parts. Because there's all kinds of moving parts, there's going to be friction. You know the solution to the friction? Oil. You don't change the oil, motor's going to go bad. Engine's going to seize up. Some of you experienced that as young men. I experienced that in a few vehicles. Not a few, one. One. That was enough. I learned a lesson. You know what the oil is of the New Testament? Of the whole Bible. The Holy Spirit. You get the Holy Spirit all over you. I'm not preaching false doctrine here. I'm telling you, as an independent Baptist, as a Biblicist, as a Bible thumper, as a fundamentalist, you get surrendered to God the Holy Spirit, and there's oil all over you. Man, it's gonna work. There's not gonna be any friction that's gonna cause any damage. As a matter of fact, that engine's gonna purr the way it's supposed to. As a people of God, we need the Holy Spirit of God. You say, "I got him, brother. I got saved." Yes, you did. If you got saved, you were indwelt by the Holy Spirit. But there's more than that. It's good he lives inside you. It's good the third person of the Trinity has sealed you. And you have the mark of God upon you. But don't go around making friction. Don't go around trying to do things in limited fashions and in your own strength. And maybe you're good at what you do, but you're not good enough. It's temporary. It's temporary. You need God, the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. Here's the first command concerning the Holy Spirit. It tells us here we are to be filled with God, the Holy Spirit. We're not to be drunk with wine, but we are to be intoxicated with the Holy Spirit of God. It's not me getting more of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit getting more of me. Chapter 5, verse 17 says, wherefore, be ye not unwise. It's unwise not to be filled with the Spirit. You're going to seize up. You're going to make a mess. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing and making a melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all. You can tell who's filled with the Holy Spirit. They got a song in their heart. They got a bounce in their step. They're thankful. They're a grateful people. Somebody comes along with a wet blanket, it doesn't matter. They're filled with God, the Holy Spirit. I heard a preacher put it this way. I think it was on the radio last week. I thought, man, that's good. I even wrote it down in the fly leaf of my Bible. I pulled my car over and I wrote it down. For many people, the Holy Spirit is just a resident in their life. Don't make him a resident. Make him the president. He needs to run your life. He needs to be the director of your life. He needs the one that tells you what to say and how to say it. You need to be saved and surrendered. Be filled with the Spirit. I can tell you in a nutshell how you can get filled with the Spirit, and you can do it this morning. You can do it in the altar call. You can do it in your automobile. You can do it in the pew and where you're seated right now. First of all, you got to empty yourself of yourself. D.L. Moody said, the only people that God turns away are those that are full of themselves. Pride's a terrible thing. Pride is a terrible thing. You may be born again, but you're so full of yourself, God can't use you. And you say, oh, I get used of God every once in a while. Even a stop clock is right twice a day. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. You know, just surrender to God. You say, oh, he may make me do some things I'm not comfortable doing. You'll be bold. It'll be fine. Empty yourself of yourself. The Apostle Paul said, I die daily. Everyday decision. God, I'm sorry I stumbled there. I'm sorry I named the sin. Please forgive me. I claim the blood, and God, would you infill me again? I empty myself of myself. Your will be done. That's it. And then you walk in Christ. But you and I must be filled with the Holy Spirit. Empty yourself of big plans and ambition and pride and bitterness and wrath. Surrender all to God. Let God use you. So we're to be filled. That's one thing. Not the Holy Spirit just being resident, but president. Number two, we're not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Ephesians in chapter 4, verse 30, names a whole bunch of sins in the previous verses. We're to walk in the new man. We're to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. Christians, children of God. We're to be absolutely different than the world. We're not to be bitter. We're not to be angry. We're not to be gossipy. We're not to be full of ourselves. He says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. And then he names five ugly agents of the flesh. Bitterness and wrath and clamor and speaking, evil speaking and malice. He said, don't do that. You be kind one to another. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Here's a command for me and for you if you're a child of God concerning the Holy Spirit. Do not grieve him. Say, Pastor, how do I grieve him? By doing wrong. You grieve God, the Holy Spirit, by sins of commission. Actually doing wrong. I don't know about you, but I have more trouble. The biggest man I have trouble with in this world is Tim Rader. I have more trouble with Tim Rader than any other man or woman on earth. I shave every morning the guy I've got to deal with 24/7. And he has flesh. And he's got an old nature, an Adamic fallen nature, that if I don't surrender to God the Holy Spirit, the old Tim Rader takes over in a heartbeat. He rears his ugly head and he takes over. You grieve the Spirit of God by committing sins, by doing wrong. You grieve him. The word grieve means to cause to be mournful, to be sorrowful, full of sorrow. You do that to God, the Holy Spirit, and so do I. When we choose to do wrong, when we choose to sin, and we wonder why the Holy Spirit, we don't wonder why we don't have the power of God in our lives. And we wonder why more people aren't getting saved. It's because we're so guilty of doing wrong. We're to be filled with the Spirit. That's the answer. We're not to grieve the Spirit of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 19, quench not the Spirit of God. That's by not doing right. You quench the Spirit of God by sins of omission, not doing the things we're supposed to be doing. I grieve him by doing the things I'm not supposed to be doing. I quench him by not doing the things that he calls me to do. He asks me to do, but I don't do it because I'm full of self. I don't do God's work. I don't obey the word of God. I don't honor him. That starts with the prayer closet and Bible reading and soul winning and church attendance. Good crowd this morning. Would you allow me to turn to a verse that seemed to preach quite a bit? And you're going to think, well, I know that verse, so I won't turn there. Don't do that. Would you turn with me there? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. I'm not to quench the Holy Spirit of God. It's imperative that we're faithful to the things of God. It happens. Things cycle. Some of you are here this morning and you're not planning on coming tonight. You already ahead of time. It's not because you're at work either, but you're just not planning to be here. I want to beg of you. Unless you've got a situation where you've got an unsaved husband that doesn't want you to come and you're going to honor him and that little bit he's giving you Sunday mornings and that kind of thing, or vice versa, man, you need to be here. You know why you need to be here? Not just for yourself. We need you. The person a couple of rows behind you in church, they need you. It isn't about coming just to get. That's kind of a hoggish way to look at it, isn't it? It's coming to give and to worship. Look what the writer of Hebrews here says, verse 24, and let us consider one another to provoke or excite unto love and to good works. Well, how could I do that? By not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. We ought to be in these last days of the church even more faithful to the church services than the first century church. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. You say, I could skip church once in a while. I'll be okay, maybe. It's an old story, though. Won't be long. You're skipping more than Sunday school. And it won't be long. And here's the deal. Here's somebody over here. They see, well, they're a good brother of mine. They're not in church. I guess I came and they weren't here. I guess I don't need to be here. I'm going to watch Gunsmoke. You know, I don't know whatever's on. Football. I'm going to watch NFL on Sunday nights. Whatever it is, you know. And you see how the devil's doing? It's a double barrel kind of thing. We need you. The church of Jesus Christ in the last days of this age needs its people to be faithful. We quench the Spirit of God by not putting him first. Okay, let me meddle just a little bit. All my kids are growing up, but they'll all testify to this. Never one time did they miss church to study for a test. God first. Grade second. So they got a C. So what? It's not the end of the world. God first. Never one time. That's important. You say, how important? I don't want to quench the Spirit of God. I want them to hear the truth. They look to dad. Dad says, we're not going to church tonight. They're off the hook. How many teenagers really want to go to church three times a week? Think about that. That was no different than they were. There were times I used to get sick on Sunday morning. Oh, my goodness. I just, I don't feel good. I won't tell you what heights I went to on that. But dad got wise to me after a while. And, you know, my dad, when he first got saved, this was early in his Christian walk. I don't think he wasn't a spiritual giant, but he knew one thing. We were going to church. I'm in the pulpit today. Bud's in the pulpit today. I got other, my sister is in church today. You know, that we're all serving God somehow, some way. Couple in heaven today. Wouldn't it be a shame if we missed church the one time I would have surrendered to preach? Could have been. Anyway, we're not to quench the Spirit of God. We're not to grieve the Spirit of God or make the Spirit of God sorrowful. Just the opposite. Instead of extinguishing the power of the Holy Spirit. Man, the joy of God should just be overflowing in our lives. I mean, if you're not quenching the Spirit, if you're letting, you're saved and surrendered. Now, I think things need to be done decently in an order, and I believe that, you know, some, you know, you don't want to be an exhibitionist, and we're not into that. But the joy of the Lord should be evident. A soul gets saved. That's better than a touchdown. A soul getting born again. Then what will cause you to be that way? By being filled with the Spirit of God. The last person that got saved here, was it a week ago, 2 weeks ago? Well, probably Wednesday night. But, man, do people get real excited about that? We need God the Holy Spirit to fill this place. We need God the Holy Spirit to take over in our lives. We need to quit captaining our own ship. Remember the bumper sticker, God is my pilot? That's a bunch of garbage. No, God is my co-pilot. That's a bunch of garbage. God is my pilot. That's for real. You let God take over. You know where I was going with that, right, Jim? Okay, all right. You knew, yeah. Yeah, I probably preached that one time before. Yeah. Thanks, all right? Yeah, we both did. So I messed it up, he messed it up, all right? The fact is, surrender to God. Be filled with God the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 25. Turn there very quickly. Almost out of time. I am basically out of time, but give me just a couple of more minutes. Galatians chapter 5. Verses 16 and 25. Verse 16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Verse 25, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." So I'm to be filled with the Spirit of God. I'm not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God, and I grieve Him by doing wrong. I make the Holy Spirit of God sorrowful, mournful. I'm not to quench the Spirit of God and put the fire out. That's by sins of omission. Not doing something I should be doing. I'm to walk in the Spirit of God. I'm to live in the presence of God. Ephesians 2:10, just write it down, read it later. I'm to live in the presence of God. I am to practice an ongoing, moment by moment, repentance in my life. That doesn't mean you walk around dejected, just the opposite. You walk around clean. You keep short accounts with God. You confess your sins. You say, "I don't have the joy of the Lord." Maybe you've got a bunch of sin as a Christian and you've not yet confessed it. It's just piling up. It's choking off the blessings. Maybe you've gotten so far from God that you're insensitive to God, the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to be transformed by the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 12, turn there. Romans in chapter 12. This is the fifth thing. Be filled. Don't grieve the Spirit. Don't quench the Spirit by not doing what you're supposed to be doing. Walk in the Spirit and be transformed by God the Holy Spirit. Listen, you can be the man or the woman God has called you to be, but you won't do it in the power of the flesh. You'll do it only by being filled with the Holy Spirit. Surrendered. Punch me in the nose. It's okay, I'm serving God. That's being surrendered. Being full of self, punch me in the nose, I'll punch you back. That's self. I want what God wants. That's being filled with the Spirit of God. I'll do whatever God asks me to do. That's being filled with the Spirit of God. Romans chapter 12. "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." To do God's good and perfect will, I must be transformed by God the Holy Spirit. I could never paint a priceless oil painting. But if somehow, this is hypothetical, the Spirit of Rembrandt could come into my body, guide my fingers, my hands, my arms, my thinking. I knew how to mix the paints, get the right hues of paint on the canvas. If Rembrandt could work through me, hypothetical, but I can't do it. I could never build a china cabinet, all God's people said. Amen. Can't do it. But if somehow a Finnish carpenter could enter into my body, move my hands, guide my thoughts, I could build a china cabinet to end all china cabinets. I could never save a soul. I could never build Christ's church. But if somehow the Holy Spirit can enter into me, wait a minute. He has. I'm indwelt by the Holy Spirit. If I just surrender to Him, and He could work through me, and He could guide my hands, my thoughts, my words, a precious, eternal soul can be born into the family of God. By the way, I challenge you to check this out. The result of anybody in the Bible filled with the Holy Spirit of God is souls being saved. Every time in the book of Acts. Every time. Filled with the Spirit, souls are saved. Filled with the Spirit, souls are saved. It's why we are here. We need, at Fundamental Baptist Church, God the Holy Spirit to take over. I need it in my life, you need it in yours. We can't just go through the motions of religianity. Let's not waste away, if we have the winter, let's not waste it away. Let's see the family of God built. Let's see people grow in grace and souls saved. I would implore you, don't quench the Spirit of God. You do that by not doing what you're supposed to be doing. Don't grieve the Spirit of God. You do that by doing wrong. You make Him mourn and sorrowful. We're to walk in the Spirit of God. We're to be transformed by the Spirit of God. We're to be filled with the Spirit of God. If I'm full of self, if I'm full of Tim Rader, there's no room for God the Holy Spirit. It can't happen. You've seen illustrations. I've used these as illustrations. Maybe your Sunday school teacher has done this and taken a glass of water and filled it right up with the water and say that water is yourself and it's right full. And here's the pitcher of water and it's God the Holy Spirit. He wants to fill you, but there's no room. You pour it in and everything just makes a big mess. But if you empty the glass out of self, now the Holy Spirit can fill you. Now the supernatural is done. By the way, Spirit-filled Christianity is not abnormal Christianity. It is normal Christianity. Amen. The Church of Jesus Christ today, if the Holy Spirit were to leave the church, leave most churches, they wouldn't even know He's gone for 6 weeks. They got programs, and they got little booklets and little hand-me-down, little handouts, and the preacher's got his little sermons, and the choir's got numbers all practiced ahead, and you know, and they got the bulletins that tells them exactly what to do. Nobody ever walks the aisle. Nobody ever gets saved. There's never any weeping in the services. There's never any real joy in the services. We need God, the Holy Spirit, to take over in this place.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.